The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So tonight, me and Liz talk about what should we share with you all. Liz said that it will be good if we talk about the mind, how to observe the mind. So I'm wondering, is anybody here, what is the mind? Oh, okay. I'm just say that from my own then. It's easy to recognize the body, right? It's like when we touch, we know that we're touching, and we can aware of the sensation with when the touching, right? But it's not easy to be aware of the mind. So the Buddha taught us that there's four ways to recognize where's the mind, so we can land awareness on it. So the mind have no, you cannot touch, you cannot see, you cannot taste, but you still can know what is the mind based on its own activities. So the first one is the function of the mind, like thinking or awareness, right? Thinking or knowing. The second one is mental state, like happiness, confusing, sadness, all that feeling, mental feeling. And the next one is the mental processes, like you think this way, you feel this way. Let's say you see the puppy and you say, "Oh, it's so cute," right? So thinking and feeling. But when you see something that you really don't like, let's say your neighbor, someone that you like keep bugging you all the time, and you just like, "It's him again." So right? Seeing and then thinking and then feeling, right? So that processes. And the last one is mental quality, like wholesome or unwholesome. So when you recognize these four areas, that's the mind. So we cannot touch, we cannot see, we cannot taste, but we still can know. Can you know your thinking? Yay? Yes? All right? Can you know that you are aware? Yeah? You know, right? Yes, definitely. So that's it. You see the mind. And then when you see like, I'm so sleepy, that's the mind, right? My mental state. So seeing the mind is not that difficult. But when Liz and I talk and there's somebody, or actually it's not only that person, but now a trend that people want to be aware of awareness. So that's the trend nowadays. Am I so okay, Liz?
Yeah, can hear you really well, and it's good. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So nowadays, people talk about, I'm aware of awareness. It sounds really cool. So it's become a trendy in the insight community. Now, of course, I aware of sensation. It's just like, so basic, so fundamental, it's kid stuff. I'm going to be aware of awareness. It's just like, I'm aware of Dharma. I'm aware of, we put some kind of meaning into that. But awareness is nothing more than just the quality of the mind or the function of the mind, that when you know, you're conscious of something. You're conscious that my thinking. You're conscious of the sensation. You're conscious that I'm seeing right now. So that when you see that you're conscious about something, but that awareness is more likely of consciousness for our path from beginning. And I need to differentiate clearly how I use the word consciousness here. The word consciousness that I'm using here is like when you are sleeping, that unconscious. And when you're awake, that conscious. Then when you be aware or be mindful of something that you conscious about it, So that at the beginning of our process, we can see consciousness and awareness is the same. But when awareness gains momentum and wisdom is also arise together with awareness, then when even you are sleeping, while sleeping, you still can be aware. It's not that difficult. It just takes time to gain momentum of awareness. So at that moment, you can see awareness and consciousness is not the same. It's totally different. So awareness of awareness, like I mentioned, is nothing more than, let's say you be aware so easy. Now you can see thinking is an object. And then you know that there's awareness, there's something. That thing can see the thinking. So that means you're aware of the awareness. So somebody asked, so then it's mean like two awareness. Because if I see awareness here, it's mean there's another awareness. Right? So that when the tingling, when we come into the concept between reality and concept, Vipassana object is always reality. You know, you all know that, right? Right? Yeah? We, like, reality, when we eating banana, banana is concept, but the taste is reality. When we thinking, the story content is concept, but the thinking itself is reality. So when you say there's two awareness, it seems like it, but actually, that's concept. So it's not really that way. The reason we see awareness and then another awareness is mean that there's wisdom come into that. When the wisdom come into that, you can see anything as an object and you can be aware of that object working itself because awareness at that moment become an object. So it have its own character. It have its own function. So wisdom see that is an object, so it's recognized all the function or the character of that object or that mental function. It's just like thinking. It recognizes thinking because thinking has its own character. Same thing. Nothing more than that, just because wisdom come together. So with that, I will pause right here to see if anybody have question, because this stuff is so abstract. A lot of people will say like, oh, this is really cool stuff, but like we tangling inside that. It's not easy to aware of the mind, and it's more difficult when you're aware of the awareness. So the recommendation is not going there, but I will talk after anybody question, and then we can unpack more. Anybody have question or comment? Yes, please.
So if I'm aware of the awareness, or if I'm aware of the object, it's the same thing, right?
Yes, exactly. So now awareness become an object itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
But to be aware of the object, it's not so cool, right? What about if I want? So if I want to be cool, I mean, need to practice more on the awareness, on awareness, right?
That I will talk a little later. Why it's cool? Yes, it will be more cool to be like go around and tell people I can aware of awareness. Actually, I will unpack that a little more. Yeah. Hughes, did you say, would you say something?
Me?
Yeah, I just saw you just about to say. And if not, it's okay.
I'm just like grooving with everything that you guys are saying.
Okay.
It just resonates so much so that being aware of the object, and then that awareness becomes another object. It seems that Vipassana's object is always reality. So I don't, for me, that means that the present moment, that it's something that's constantly changing and in flux, and that my awareness of it then is not a matter of what I think about this moment of it or that moment of it or this part or that part, but is more of
the thinking mind itself.
Dancing with it, of being engaged in some kind of creative way that's wholesome and not toxic. So that's all. Is that in line with what you're saying?
Yes. When I mentioned Vipassana, the object is always reality. That is nothing new in Vipassana practice. It's just nowadays we heard about mindful so much, mindful this, mindful that. So that word mindfulness in other program, like I'm mindful my language when I'm talk in the group that have white people, black people, people of color. So mindful your language. So it's mindfulness too, but it's mindfulness in the way that for our conventional life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it have the flavor or the characteristic of the conventional life, which is concept.
Mm-hmm.
But for the path of liberation, where we practice the teaching of the Buddha, we cannot bring in the concept. Because the moment we bring in the concept, we always tangling, like you right, I'm wrong, you good, I'm bad, and stuff like that. We need to see the object as the nature, so that we can give a space, so we step back and look in that as what equal attitude. Like, so the mind can be equally look at all the object, no good, no bad. Okay. Thanks for your comment.
You're welcome. Liz frequently talks about hurtfulness. And to me, that it's, in my mind, that's different from mindfulness. It's when I'm being mindful, in the way I see it, when I'm being mindful, I feel like I'm, my scientist is stage front and center. My lawyer is there. I'm being logical and thinking very, precisely about things. Whereas when I'm being hurtful, I feel softer than that. I feel more in touch with my feelings and my intuitions and my when I find myself feeling tense or feeling getting uptight, I can take half a step back from that, and with my heartfulness, I can say, oh, this is a warning. This is a clue to me to tell me that I'm stepping out of, I'm stepping into the house of pain. I'm leaving my heavenly abode, and I'm stepping into the house of pain. And I don't really want to, do I want to go there? I'm maybe not. What am I doing to contribute to that? How is my thinking leading me in that direction, or my behavior? And just having that process, it helps me to get back to feeling wholesome.
Yes. Yeah, that's a really beautiful way to, use this ability we have to be aware of our emotional state it's kind of an early warning system sometimes to the unwholesome or the wholesome.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful. Thanks, Hugh.
Okay, so I'm come back with how do I pronounce your name? Ki Da Khan?
Yes, tell me how to be cool.
Aware of awareness, yes. So aware of awareness is more like when you don't jump in to try to be aware of awareness. Because you know the defilement, the kelisa, when like if you want something, that motivation is unwholesome, right? When you have unwholesome motivation, that meditation is not vipassana meditation anymore. So, and that one thing, another thing that awareness, if you think awareness is your awareness, then it's wrong view. So that's why you want to have awareness in a different way. You want to have continual awareness. You want to have stronger awareness. You want to have awareness more pure. All of that, you want to change it because it's yours. And this is wrong view. And wrong view is, you know the right view and wrong view, right? We talk about this. Yeah. So when we have wrong view, we owning that, we want to fix it, we want to change it, then that's not meditation anymore. So when we practice meditation, we start with where we are or what we have. So let's say at the moment, it doesn't matter how long have you been practiced in your life already, but at the moment, you don't have momentum. Then just start with the body sensation because that is obvious. And when the momentum again more and more and more, you start to feel like the feeling, because feeling is the next step for body and then feeling and then mind. That's the next step for subtleness. And then when you go to the mind, you start to see the mind thinking. Then the more you see the mind thinking, the more you can have awareness at that moment. It's pretty strong already, because watching thinking is not easy. You get lost into the storyline constantly, right? But if you can see it as an object, it means awareness is strong enough and wisdom is also being there. Only when wisdom being there, you can see object as an object instead of like me thinking, right? So it means wisdom is there. So when wisdom is there and when awareness is there, if you know there's thinking, then there is very clear feeling of something knowing the thinking. So let's say, are you watching the feeling? Like you're watching the feeling and then mental process, thinking and feeling. And then for some time that you just check in, there's something knowing that. There's something knowing that. That feeling of something knowing that is pretty much seeing awareness. The more you recognize in it, another way to practice recognizing awareness is, let's try this. Pay attention to your attention, okay? Pay attention to your attention. Head, shoulder, legs, feet, knees. You see, the moment you hear the sound, immediately your attention go to the location which you, where you know it is, where's memory remember where it is. So you can see it feel like awareness traveling. Your attention, pay attention, traveling, but actually it's not traveling. The truth is, when you hear the sound, memory arise, which is thinking. Memory arise, the thinking, and then that thinking, perception, remember the location. So at that, when remembering the location at that moment, at that way, so that put the attention in that location, so that consciousness arise in that location. So there's thinking, and then there's arising of awareness at that point. So if you're doing that for a while, you will see attention move. It seems like that. So the more you see your attention, the more you know where This is the energy of pay attention, energy of pay attention. Then it's very easy from that. You can go into being known, something that being known by awareness. So attention being known by awareness. So it's easier to connect to something that knowing. It's another way to see that. I don't know. I think this way I saw that, but not very clear. Another one that see in intention. Like whenever we move our hand, we turn our body, we sit, we walk, there's intention that body can move. So when you see intention, like it's more like the energy, movement, the body. So when you see your body move, that intention itself is the level of subtleness in intention in that one is very close with awareness itself too. Very close to connect to that too. So if that is that the only way, three ways that I feel very close to see awareness in my own practice. I don't know another way. Maybe you practice and then you can tell me more. But that's the only three ways I know about it. But the key I want to mention here is awareness is also the neutral object and it's not belong to us. So if in the way that we meditate and we have saw in the meditation mind, the five faculty, right? We all know meditation mind is five faculty. In that meditation mind, if you have kilesa in there, the defilement, then that will cloudy the way up you can see. Because in this five faculty, awareness will lead in this, right? Sada, viraya, sati, samadhi, and panya. Faith or confident, effort, right effort, and then awareness, and then concentration or balance, and the last one is wisdom. So awareness will lead this mental quality. If you try to change anything in awareness or you want something, then this mental quality imbalance or impure, then you cannot see it at all. So practice meditation is more like snowing ball, rolling. The more it's rolling, the more it gain momentum, and more it getting bigger. So it will see itself. My teacher, Sayadaw Techaniya, has always say that we cultivate awareness, we don't cultivate a perfect awareness. So remember that. So for being cool in practice and like meditate to have cool awareness, watch out. Yeah. So that's all I have today. Liz, do you have anything to share or comment?
Thank you so much. That was really wonderful. And I would say that what's so interesting about awareness is it is a natural phenomenon, a natural capacity that's there that is so obvious that we sometimes don't see it until we see it. I mean, it's just incredibly obvious. Once you start seeing it, it's like, oh, yeah, here it is. It's, you know, everywhere and nowhere all at once. But, yeah, I really appreciate the distinctions you made this evening, the ways to help people recognize that there's the graduated steps. There's nothing wrong with starting with the more maybe gross or obvious object. And then as we refine, you know, our attention and our awareness get more refined and more steady, they can see subtler and subtler things all the way up to awareness is just here. So, yeah, thank you.
Yes, definitely. Yes, please.
Some question that do you have any idea that if some people saying that awareness is actually our true self, or actually we are the awareness, what do you think?
I see. Nowadays, there's a lot of meditation teacher talk about this, like our true self. I have to say that I do not understand that language. Like, I'm not talking about English, or I'm from Vietnam, so or Vietnamese, or English, or whatever, or Thai, right? So I'm not talking about language. I'm talking about the way we're using language, right? So our true self, if we talk about practice Buddhism, and there's no self. So if there's no self, then there's no true or false. Just like my teacher used to say this, you have a hand and your hand is pain. So if you don't want to have pain, you don't have hand. Right? Just like Buddha said, if there's no bond, then there's no passing away. Because the passing away happened because there's bond. So arising, there must be impermanent, passing away. If there's no cause, there's no effect. So if that the teaching of the Buddha, then there's no self, and there's no true self or false self. That one way to think about it. But if you want to think about people talking about true self as mean the wholesome quality, the wholesome quality, then that wholesome quality, Buddha do talking about that. Our body and mind is just like a house, like our house. So then the house have six doors, which is our six sense doors. The house have six sense doors. Any mental, any, let's say, anger arise, and then anger pass. Happiness arise, happiness pass. So it's come in, come out, come in, come out. So the mind with that tranquility, the mind that have just recognized things as they are, the mind that have wisdom with capacity to see all of that is phenomenal, just come and goes. Then that would be the thing that Buddha said, this is true, this is pure, and this is unborn, passing away. So if that's what they mean by your true self in that way, then yes. Because we all know when Buddha talked about Nibbana, right? So Nibbana, there's two types of Nibbana. One, we talk Nibbana after we pass away, which nobody knows where that is. We just say in that, but we don't know, right? We say Buddha is a 10 Nibbana. Nobody knows it's true or not. But for all teachers who been teaching this style for a long time, they say if he's not exist anymore, the true, when attend Nibbana, there's no existence. Because if there is existence, it will pass away, as he's teaching. So there's no Nibbana after die. But in Asia, we talk about that a lot. And then the Nibbana that we're talking about, that when you attend Nibbana, when you attend the path of liberation, become Arahant. That path of that Nibbana is the mind that unborn and die, which means because you don't have any more desire. You don't create anything. When you don't create anything, there's nothing born. When there's nothing born, then there's nothing die. So that's what is meant by true self. It does not mean somebody or something. It just means that there's no more processes, no more becoming. That's what it means. Yeah. But that is my interpretation. If you want to know more than that, you have to ask the people who answer that. I'll say that, yeah. What do you think, Liz?
Oh, I will leave that to wiser teachers than me. I think I share your initial wariness about the phrase, our true self, because it can lean into a concept really fast.
Yes.
And the idea that the no self or not self is really about there is no fixed thing here.
Yes.
It's a constant change. So there's nothing to hold on to. There's no true self to hold on to, no not self to hold on to,
just processes.
So yeah, but really good question, because people do talk that way.
Yes, nowadays. You
know? They do.
Yeah, nowadays.
And I appreciated your sharing Lian Chi and Kita Khan about it's cool, you know, to be aware of awareness. And it's kind of funny that it's cool, because it's, like I say, it's so ordinary, so natural, so just part of this. So I don't know. Yeah. Thank you. Very enjoyable talk this evening. Very enjoyable questions.
Thank you.
Yeah. Everybody be well.
Yes, that's it for today. Do you want to share merit? Usually do we share the merit or we don't?
Well, let's do that, please.
Okay, yes, please. Go ahead, Liz, please.
May the practice that we do together release suffering from this mind and from the minds around us, so that all beings can be free of suffering and be unborn. May all beings be happy.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.